With 1,685 Denny's across the globe, a good meal is just around the corner. The Toe Network is proudly sponsored by Denny's.
I am Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic. Duat Red.
I'm Amit, the heart-snacking critic. Duat Pink.
I'm Sono, the wild critic. Duat Green.
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron. Duat Ranger.
Join us as we embark on a wild ride through Dobutsu Sentai's Uojir. Can Yamato lead his human friends through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobutsu Sentai's Uojir, Episode 4, Roar in the Ring. Our writer was Komura Junko. Our episode director was Kato Hiroyuki. This is the same duo from last week, so I'm not going to go over their credits again, but again, I think they're doing a good job. So with that, we'll jump into our first section. What are our animal instincts telling us about this episode and what it's got to say? I personally really like the plot of Leo's unintentional chivalrous good guy sexism, and Sela wanting absolutely zero part of it. Especially with, like, Leo as the lion, I could see that being taught to him while he's brought up and internalizing it, and not realizing how insulting he's being. And I love that Sela has no intention, like, no hesitations in calling him out on it, and making him kind of think about what he's doing. Most of all, I love at the end of the episode that the conflict isn't solved. This has been a bad habit of Sentai, and a bit of Rider since Kyoryuger, and I know we discussed this over on Uncommon a bit. Big character conflicts like this just get turned off at the end of an episode, and it's over, and everyone moves on, and the problem is solved. The only exception I can think of in recent history is Mio's dislike of men, which persisted to the end of the show and was never quote-unquote fixed, because Mio doesn't have to like dudes if she doesn't want to, and everyone just accepts that. But you can't suddenly, like, with something this big and something this internalized and culturally pervasive, you can't just suddenly be called out on it and then be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not gonna think that way ever again, and the problem is solved. Like, he's now aware that this is a thing he's doing, and kind of what it means to him and what it means to Sela, and he's gonna have to deal with it and think on his feelings about it, and Sela has to think on hers. And she has to figure out how she wants to continue to confront Leo on this. And the fact that they're letting this go beyond one episode really makes me feel like the creative staff is going to put the effort into Leo and Sela's feelings, and that in the end this is gonna have a really nice payoff for the two of them.
I like the ideas here, but I'm not sure that it went quite far enough for me, which I guess has kind of been a complaint a lot for me recently. I'm not ready to let go and just trust the creators behind Geoger, because, despite the fact that Ghost has been such a great redirect for Kamen Rider, and I have knowingly enjoyed Junko Kimura's work since Wizard On, and maybe even some stuff I didn't know he'd written, I feel a lot of unease, but it's almost like the sensation at the top of a roller coaster where it could develop into something exciting and interesting to experience. Then again, the feeling of being on a precipice also sometimes comes right before falling down a mountainside. Leo's sexism isn't terribly surprising, and Sela didn't beat it out of him, and I think that's a good thing. It's something he will have to deal with, but I don't read him as having any intention to fight it. Sela, on the other hand, wants to sort things out with him, and I hope that comes to fruition, because seeing the turn in Leo and what it means to Sela would be so interesting. And as for the message, so much of what the message you got depends on, like, your filters. So, like, I don't know, it was kind of complicated this time. Like, Sela's grit and determination to be seen as an equal is great, but the narrative lens seems to shy away from focusing on it, and instead leans into Leo's reaffirmation of male over female superiority at the end. I felt it was a bit muddled, and I was disappointed by it.
Yeah, which I totally am feeling, too, because, like, I'm really, like, I'm gl-
glad that we're addressing the fact that attitudes like or worse than Leo's exist, and it looks like it's a thing that they're going to keep talking about and addressing and lampshading and trying to have a real discussion about, because it's that rule when you address social problems in fiction that you have to point out that they're problems and then have them be things which are dealt with continuously. Because anytime you solve a problem in media, there are people who think that the problem is then solved, which is why you'll get adult men, people who have been through school and like who have eyes and ears and all sorts of functioning sensory input who are like, there's no such thing as sexism. That ended in the 60s, along with racism. Everyone is treated equally now. It's like, that's not the world. But which is just really, like, frustrating to me, because, like, I could have handled it a bit if, like, when they were out shopping, Leo was just laying on some steps in the sun, sleeping while the ladies went out and hunted for things that he was planning on eating later, and then he decides, oh, hey, I'm going to get up and fight because I'm a male lion, and that's what we do. We just sleep around, let the women do all the work, and then we go and fight each other because we're very smart animals. I don't know. I guess I just mostly liked that we got to air Sela's argument the whole episode, where it's like, look, if someone is good enough to challenge you to a fight and ask you not to hold back, you respect their desire to measure themselves against you. They can't gauge their skill if you're cheating, and that's what he's doing the whole time. He's cheating. If they're going hard and you aren't showing up, you've disrespected how hard they're going, especially since it's clear he thinks she's good. She's on the level. She's on the level where she can challenge him. But he doesn't. He does that condescending thing. And, like, again, I know that the point I'm taking away is that it's condescending and that you shouldn't do it. But, well, like you said, Ahmed, he's still like, oh, I just don't like the idea of it.
See, but I like that he's holding on to that at the end because gives us more time. Yeah, like. That's the way someone's going to still be thinking after this first conflict. And
It's realistic.
I mean, I could absolutely see this going horribly wrong over the course of the show, and I'm not...
It's got a lot of potential,
but
I'm hoping.
I'm also... It could also go really right. And
yeah.
Zuoja's been good so far. Everything with Ghost has been good. And I want to just believe for the first time
It would be nice to just have a little golden spot where Sentai and Rider are both just good.
It's been 2 years.
those were some dark times. I'm glad y'all were here with me so that I could every week just be like, ah!
Hey, but speaking of that, what's gotten our hackles up this week? My only real issue is I'm real with the joke of Mario walking in on Tusk smelling Leo's socks. It feels more than a little awkward and in bad taste. And honestly, Tusk wasn't even, like, holding the sock near his face. It didn't look like he was doing anything with it. He could have just picked it up and was sorting laundry, which is literally what he was doing at the end of this episode when they had to make the joke even less funny. It just, the whole thing just did not sit with me, and I don't like it.
Yeah, like, I know Ahmet probably had, like, I know that off mic, off air, like, I know I was having a good laugh about the callers in that one episode, because, haha, that's subtext. But, like, making it out and out explicit, like, why? No. Don't.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I don't really get it, and, like, well, anyway, yeah, let's... Making the caller's comment is enough, probably. So, like, I had a couple things. Naria's glee Cubard's, whatever, successful play with Omigard was the Viking guy's name, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Like, that was really irritating. Like, the suit actor and the voice actor are selling her so believably. Like, I believe that she really wanted to make it seem like she was gleeful, or at least she sincerely was, or whatever. But, like, it's still something I hate to see, so until it changes, I think Narya's bits in the show will continue to get my hackles up, unfortunately. The next thing is, the musicians fighting was, like, really brutal. And while I don't think it was too much for kids to see necessarily, it was really dark. Just kind of gave me an unsettled feeling. There was something similar in Digimon, 02, but it was like two Digimon fighting each other. So because they're animated and because they're creatures, it felt a lot less harsh. But like they were crying while they were fighting and like, I don't want to do this. Anyway, it was bad. So it was a nasty bit, but I mean, it's a good villain. Good way to texture the villain group.
Zero-Hunter's going really hard with, like, attacking civilians. That's a thing I've noticed.
Like, you know, we mentioned the Gegaru in the first episode, and I have to give them credit. They are going there.
This is, like, 90s level, like, on the level of 90s Sentai as far as being really brutal with killing people. Older Sentai is much, much more brutal with that, where it's not quite as common anymore, but here...
Yeah, like, they're explicit about it. It's kind of cool. Like, I hate to be the bloodthirsty one, but it kind of is.
It's nasty business, but you know it's satisfying when villains are actually, when they actually have teeth.
Yeah, because... Like, they may not have personalities, but they've got big old sharp and bitey teeth, so I gotta give them that much. So, alright, so to get into my little complaints, like, I've been mad since the first fight that no one even thought about, you know what? No, we opt not to fight. Someone will save us. You'll get bored and move along. Whatever. I mean, because they don't even bring in the okay, now you have to fight tasers until, like, later, and I sort of felt they could have opened with that.
No, they were in the first fight.
I heard him mention, like, you can't...
No, he did it! He did it to the two guys!
Oh, he did?
That's why they started fighting. They were like, no, we're not gonna fight each other. And then he tased them.
Somehow. Okay, my bad. Then I retract. I had missed it. Somehow, because I was watching... Anyway... still not warming up to Mario. Like I'm trying, but it's not happening. Narya is going to be a going concern for a while in this section because they keep making her get him drinks, and don't like it. Not a fan. I need her to poison someone soon. And then of course,
I'm sorry. I just hope it turns out that she's been giving them, like, a cumulative poison throughout the series, and, like, in 15 episodes, a bunch of them will start dropping.
Yep. And she's just like, oh my, whatever could have happened? Hee hee hee
hee. Like, oh, well, this is bad. Huh. I wonder what
that... Oh dear, everyone's dead.
Huh. Oh well, time to shoot the space lasers.
Yep. And, of course, my last thing is just Leo. Like, I want to like you. I've been wanting to like the dude. Like, the big, open, happy, loud guy. As people listening to the show might guess, I'm pretty okay with the loud jerk. Because he's my people. But, yeah, this episode just... I was just like, Leo, I hope someone drops a bus on you.
Yeah, but,
But that's me.
But moving away from that, onto Tide Turner's stuff we enjoyed. A thing I noticed, and I don't know how much this counts, but speaking of Narya, the way a lot of the shots of her were framed give me some slight hope that we may be right about her eventually, like, stepping in and messing everyone up. Specifically, there's the shot of her giving Genus his drink. And something about the framing of it and how the camera moved around her instead of Genus, I thought was really interesting. And a lot of shots of her the camera was moving around her instead of everyone else in the room. I mean, I may That's be right. very much picking up on something that isn't there, but yeah, I just, but I want to believe. Because I like her a lot, and I really want her to not be terrible.
You're here.
I also feel like this is the first time I noticed Sela's shark tail. I've never noticed her in, noticed it on her, and I think it's adorable. I also noticed the entire time that her and Leo were in the ring fighting, their tails remained up in the kind of danger position, and I thought that was a really nice detail.
Yeah, that was cool. I did notice that too, and you're right, it is pretty neat that they kept that, because they could have, you know, forgotten.
Yeah, they could have, when they cut back to that, they could have just let their tails drop, because they already know where the danger is. They don't need to sense it anymore, but they were still, it showed an alertness, and I feel like if we've got people paying that close of an attention to detail in episode, like, 4, when we don't have to catch anyone's attention anymore, I think that's a good sign.
True. As for me, the things that made me happy, despite, you know, some ickiness, I really love that Leo and Sela got trapped because they were trying to help Amu. Like, they're just such good friends, obviously, and they both have that protective, I don't know, I mean just over her, but, like, they both want to help and protect people and keep the back of their team. What's that? Like,
have each other's backs?
Exactly. Thank you very much. So, that's really cool. I really loved Yamato casually flying around looking for Leo and Sela. Like, that's super cool. He doesn't have to be in a fight to fly. He can just do it whenever. So that was neat. Let's see. Just a couple more things. Oh, like, Leo's cat-like fighting moves are really funny and adorable and cool. And I'm glad. And I don't know if that's, like, a specific martial arts style or just the stunt team said, like, hey, let's come up with something that kind of is cat-like. But it was pretty cool.
Either way, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. and then Sona mentioned this earlier, but, like, I just have to repeat, Sela calling out Leo for his bias and how he dishonored her wishes and didn't go 100% in that fight. It's just so great because it says so much about them and it plants seeds for later on.
Yeah, I was very much in the same place because I really just loved Sela just going off on Leo. Like, I want her to get her fight, you guys. I want, win or lose, whatever, I want her to have it, and have it unequivocal that whoever won, they had to fight for it. Like, that's just, you know, it's a small thing, but it's what I want, because my other big thing is just, I kind of love Sela. She's basically the best. She was already my favorite, because she's a shark, but then she showed up in this episode, and was cool, and fought with honor, and called someone else out on their nonsense. And, like, all she wanted to do was, like, I just like the impression, it's not even that she wants to win the fight. She wants to actually lose it, so she'll know how hard she has to train. It's like, yes. Because, look, it's not all about winning. It's about, you know, it's about playing the game. And dude ain't playing the game, and she let him know. And I love Sela. She's a shark.
That is factually accurate, yes.
Yeah, I'm capable of reading the text of shows. I don't have to go subtext all the time.
No, I get you. Well, I don't know if this counts as subtext, but what do you see coming in the future for the show?
So apparently we were right about random Zuman just living off in the woods. I'm kind of interested to see where this gorilla dude is going to take things, and from the preview, it seems like the four Zumans all know him, or at least maybe Amu does, because I remember her hugging him. And it seems like we may get secondary animal powers for the main team, kind of like in Geki Ranger. Speaking of, I'm almost positive that is where they got the gorilla costume. I'm like 90% that is the same gorilla. I'm like 90% this is the same gorilla costume from Gekki Ranger. Well, he was an orangutan. He wasn't a gorilla.
Oh, that's true.
He was also an alien, and not an actual monkey.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, they did that thing where they kept painting on the irises on all the alien costumes. That was...
Next, so for me, I see Leo and Sailor are going to have a rematch at some point. She'll lose, but she'll be proud, and he'll be humbled by how great of a fighter she is, because you know, he's going his best, and she almost gets the best. I think that would be the best conclusion for this, and I could see it happening. I think Yamato will exclusively get secondary animal power-ups, and I think that just kind of makes sense.
It does make sense, because he's not a specific animal.
Right. Well, it does play to the human strength, which is the adaptability factor.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see everyone else get them, though.
For my own thing, like I just want that rematch, and then after, for both of them to have the high five, because that was one heck of a fight. Even though I keep feeling like in the second rematch, Sailor should win, because look, male lions spend all their lives, that is not sleeping and waiting for hordes of lionesses to drag home all the kills they did, just fighting other male lions, then that's fine, that's why he's as hard as he is. But female sharks are so much bigger than the males, and are cold-blooded killers, and also spend a lot of time murdering the crap out of anything that moves. Like, I don't know, I like sharks. Which brings me to the other thing, I kind of want to see Sailor go into a blood frenzy sometime. Because again, shark. She just gets a taste of blood. She ought to just go off and, like, I know she's probably not gonna, because that'd be the end of the porcupine grungy bit, and no one's ready for that in Sentai. Like, we're close. We're close here. No one is ready for that. Like, Kuga is a dark and intense show. Every time it comes up, I'm never ready for it. What's that?
I was just saying, I think it'd be cool if that happened, and then like she had to catch herself, and the team was like, "Hey, don't be like a Death Galeon. Come on, like,
yeah,
you don't want to be one of those gamer losers."
That would be good. Just tear it into it. Anyway, apparently, like, I like sharks, and all I want is for her to just make this whole thing R-rated with just like painting the walls of blood. That's a terrible thing. I don't know why that is. Why that has very much been the thing. Mostly because I'm just mad at Leo. I'm just that mad someone has to suffer. I'm mad at a children's show character, guys. I didn't know that was possible.
I mean, there's always Trump. I mean, it's like the same thing.
What's that?
Nothing. Never mind.
I don't know. I've been pretty mad at fictional characters before.
Yeah. Like, I normally don't get, like, personally mad. Like, I'm not this mad at Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter. I think she's great, actually. She's my favorite character in the whole series, because she's such a good villain.
I don't know. Leo, I got pretty mad at Michi.
Yeah, I can never be mad at him, because he's a great villain.
I think he's absolute garbage. I think he's absolute garbage,
oh, yeah, that's
and
why he's so great.
See, no, it's not great to me.
No, exactly. So, this is just me being like, I've not had a lot of hate for a fictional character in quite some time.
I think we should focus that hate and anger into an answer to a question. Are you ready for that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Your reflexes are going to have to be quick here. What are your thoughts on, or what are your thoughts of Leo and his ideas of what it means to be a man?
I mean, I feel like this is a very, like, culturally pervasive idea that he has. And that the show is calling it out. And I think that's good. I personally really like the way they're handling it. In that, you know, Leo has these ideas challenged and he still doesn't see the problem. Because no one has exactly sat him down and been like, this is exactly what's wrong with the way you think. Sela's just like, no, you're wrong, let's fight. And that's completely reasonable for her to be angry about it. But I feel like this is a completely natural way. Like, that they're handling it. I think Leo is wrong. But I'm glad that the show is addressing it and addressing it this way. Especially since Leo is one of the good guys and is, like, the lovable one.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, for my part, I'm really, it's a bad thing. I'm glad it's here. I just hope it's handled well. And, you know, I get it. It's easy to have that frame of mind, especially when, like you said, some of it's been taught or you've just absorbed it. You know, let's see if he can actually, I guess, stick the landing on this. That's more where I'm coming from. But it's, you know, terrible, damaging idea, and hopefully he gets rid of it midway through the series, at least.
And like, look, as angry as I am at the character, I really have to agree with you, Senno, and Ahmed, because it's a good idea that they're doing it and addressing it so that we can deconstruct it, because it is a toxic idea.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, I'm not saying, lol, go around hitting women, because, no, but it's the respect thing. It's you know, it's not, well, I don't have to explain, because it's just...
And again, I think it's very important that it's Leo and not Tusk, where, because a lot of people are, like, reading, okay, Leo's the lovable one, Tusk is the jerk. And if you're passing this off on Tusk, they'll be like, oh, well, only jerks do that.
Exactly, like, and having the thing where we have to say, no, we like him, and he's wrong here.
Yeah, so, I mean, like,
that's
someone come in with, like, the best intentions, and then being like, but your best intentions are not correct. They're damaging.
Yeah, your intentions are great. Your actions are crap. Which, I mean, going back to what something we talked about on the Ghost podcast, like, you know, all the worst people do all their terrible things with good intentions.
It's true.
That's just how it goes. So, like, and in this show, we're saying, no, you have to examine what you want to achieve and your intentions. At least I really hope so. Like you said, Ahmed, I too want them. Well, I think it's fair to say we all want them to stick the landing on it.
Like I said, this could all go horribly wrong. We are on episode 4.
But with any luck, it
won't. There is plenty of room for it to go terribly, but I want to believe.
I just, you know, one last thought on this. I think it's going to be okay. Because cats always land on their feet, so.
This is true.
We have feedback from Jason and Chris, so should we get into that now?
Yeah.
Jason, on Animal Instincts, he says this, I don't really care for this episode. While it did a good job of showing another aspect of Sayla and Leo's relationship, I found the subplot about them having to fight each other boring, because I don't really care for wrestling or other martial arts in that vein. The B-plot with the rest of the team searching for them also didn't get enough focus for me to care for that, for it either. I'll discuss my thoughts on that message later on. I wonder...
Comment when we get there.
Yeah, I guess so. I think we need to ask Jason, what is your... what is the kind of martial arts you dig? Is it mostly the spandex? Well, I guess wrestling would be that. I'd like a further explanation on that later.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that at another time.
I don't see why them having to fight, especially since it wasn't really wrestling what they were doing. So I'm very confused as to what would have made this more interesting. Because this is very much like a personality conflict.
Well, anyway, moving on to Chris's thoughts, Chris said, I liked this episode, as it gave us a chance to learn more about Sayla and Leo. I like the combat focus of the monster's plan as well. It's something I don't think I've seen in Sentai before. If I have, it's been a while. I want to cover my thoughts on the message in the quick reflexes section, but I like that the episode ends with Leo aware that his stance on the issue is upsetting Sayla, but unable to give the principle up immediately. I sometimes feel in Toku shows that sometimes we get episodes where a character flaw is identified, challenged, and fixed within the 20 to 25 minute time frame, which I feel is a little unrealistic. We still have around 45 episodes for Leo to work at fixing this, which I like.
Yes, I think this was phrased in a way that I've been trying to phrase it over the course of this episode, but was unable to. Especially with Leo, at the end of the episode, kind of being unable to get past everything.
Yeah, I mean, I like that his stumbling block is himself. That's beautiful.
As far as getting Hackles up, Jason answered, I didn't really care for either subplot, and I feel like the message wasn't exactly the best, though at the same time I could understand it.
I suppose. Let's see. And Chris, what got his Hackles up was this. He says, is Narya, who I am tempted to nickname Akiba Green based on her helmet, which I totally see that. Good call.
I'm down with Akiba Green existing.
But is she going to explain where the coin comes from every single time she teleports to Earth? It came from the Great Leader. We know this. Also, chances are the monster who has just been destroyed knows this as well. I don't mind the character tick of kissing the coin before inserting it into the monster, though. I mind it, Chris. I mind it. Getting back to Chris's comment, while I thought the joke with Tusk refusing to smell Leo's socks was okay, I didn't like the reoccurring joke with Mario believing that there was more to this. I didn't find it funny and thought it was out of place in this show so far. Hopefully it won't be mentioned again.
Yeah. The core joke was fine, it's just, like, the addition of Mario. The whole joke with Mario just felt really inappropriate.
And really just made it go on.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm only doing this because I don't... Because if I smell hers, it'll be extra super pervert. Okay, okay. This is under protest. And that's it. We're done.
Yeah, it's... The additional layer of the joke was unnecessary.
Yeah. Now for Tide Turners... seeing another side of Sailor and Leo's relationship was nice. While seeing them interact in previous episodes was nice, it was great to see that they don't get along all the time, and I'm interested in seeing how this develops in the future, said Jason. Because, and yeah, like, I'm with Jason on that one, absolutely.
Yeah. Chris answered, I like the flashback to Zoo World showing that both Leo and Sela took up karate before they came to Human World. I also like that the two cubes aren't being used to form Zuo King still appear in the fight. Most Sentai would have stopped showing the individuals, quote-unquote, Zords by now. Yeah, I mean, I still wish they were on the robot, but...
Yeah, it's... You know, we're gonna have to get through a few more fights, I can tell, and it's... Boy.
It is tedious.
Yeah, it is. Now, for our evolutions, Yamato's Zuo Gorilla forms. Pardon me. Yamato's Zuo Gorilla form seems to be showing up pretty early, as I expected it to show up later. I'm hoping we'll get more information on how Zooland and Earth are connected next episode, as there needs to be some explanation as to how that Gorilla Zooman is around.
I just want to say the Zuo Gorilla suit is. Or power-up, or whatever, is awful-looking. It is... Yeah, like... It is bad.
Yeah, like, there have been some weird stuff going on with this show, but that one is... Every time they try to do the super muscle power thing, it just... It does not...
In Majiranger, it was hilarious.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's because it was supposed to look terrible.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, it looked better there than it does here.
Well, mostly because the suit design does a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, here it looks like they just, like, inflated the suit. Like, it looks like there's just air in there under the suit. Mm. Whereas, like, in Majiranger, it was clearly CGI, but I mean, at least they modeled muscles at all.
Yeah, no, it's just puff.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's really...
But Chris answered, I believe that the Gorilla Zooman will be a recurring mentor to the team. I wonder if the other Zoogers will get alternate animal forms as well. I'm hoping, just because I'm kind of done with everything being so red-focused, where only red is getting things.
Yeah, no, because, like, I still want them all to get weapons that are not those awful, awful sword guns.
Yeah.
Like, he has the awesome, you know, whip sword, because that is really cool. So, let them have it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would like if they got, like, if they all got very different animals from what they are, and kind of, it helped them see other perspectives, something, this, that, or the other thing. I'm coming off Zootopia right now, so I'm all in that kind of headspace.
I'm really excited to see that.
It's really good.
I'm so frustrated. Well, we only have a tiny theater in town that has two showings of a movie.
Oh, that sucks.
Period. Like, on a Sunday. Friday, well, okay, it's like four, but it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. One show a night.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, Anyway, so on to Quick Reflexes, which was the question about Leo and his ideas of what it is to be a man. And in before, swift as a coursing river, the strength of the great typhoon, etc. Mysterious as the dark side of the moon. Anyway, Jason responded, I think Leo's idea is partially right. I can get behind the idea that men shouldn't hurt girls, but at the same time, I'm completely on board with Sailor's stance that women aren't weak and don't always slash only need to be protected. This is why I feel the message kind of falls apart. Like, I get that you want to teach boys that women aren't weak and can be trusted to take care of themselves, but maybe don't do that by implicitly saying that hitting them or trying to cause them harm outside of self-defense is okay. I get that they were also talking about it in terms of martial arts, but it's easy to twist it, slash for kids to misinterpret it, as saying that hitting women and girls is fine. That didn't really sit well with me, and I wish they found another way to teach the former message of girls not strictly needing to be protected. Basically, in terms of Leo's ideas, I would say that while he is partially right, Sayla has more of a moral high ground here. It's like, I see where Jason's coming from, because it's, a lot of it is, like, part of where I reacted anyway is, you know, you see a lot of guys like, what do you mean I shouldn't hit girls? If she hits me first, I'm gonna kill her. Manly. And I'm just like, well, those guys are the worst. Because their whole thing is like, yes, I just like to go around hitting people. And I'm just like, well, you shouldn't. Don't hit people.
Yeah, see, that's kind of the thing. It's not, it shouldn't just be, don't hit girls. It should be, don't hit anyone.
Abuse people. That's a terrible thing to do.
And, like, I really don't see how kids could take any of what happened in this episode and get from that, it's okay to hit girls.
Never underestimate the power of people to misinterpret a message.
There are people that I could see misinterpreting that message, but, like, 8-year-old boys are not the people I see misinterpreting that.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Do you
want to
open that can of worms?
Yeah, it is quite a can of worms, and it's
I mean,
it is a deep one, because everything comes out in how you phrase certain arguments and how the people hear them, because there's always that thing where what you say isn't always what is heard, and that's always going to complicate. Anyway, communication is hard.
You do have to worry about the filters. I mean, but Sono, go ahead, and if you want to say something, go ahead. I'm not trying to stop you.
I mean, I get where Jason is coming from on this. I just don't agree that Leo is partially right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think that's a problematic statement.
Like, I think the thing that I think they're trying to say in the show is, like, you know, in Zooland, they must have had a thing where it's like, look, you know, don't just go around beating up on girls. That's what a bully does. That makes you a cowardly lion. And then he took that to be like, oh, so I shouldn't, like, fight women either. It's like, well, this is a nuanced thing, dude. Like, we mean, like, if you're bigger and stronger than someone, don't just hit them to make them do what you want, or because you're some evil, nasty control freak jerk.
Yeah, it's...
But, yeah.
It's...
there's a layer of nuance missing from the show's arguments, but I get that because it's aimed at 8-year-olds.
Yeah, it's just, because it's not even that Leo's just like, I have to protect them and I shouldn't fight them. Like, he's got the whole, like, he goes out, the first thing he does is he goes to carry their bags. It's not even a matter of fighting. He goes out to carry their bags, and Sela's like, no, I can carry this myself. And, like, I feel like hitting isn't the only part of this argument that exists, and that it isn't the whole argument that exists in the show. And that it's a thing that Sela focused on because of the circumstances of what happened to them, but wasn't the issue until that was brought up. And it's just boiling the whole thing down to hitting people. And, like, the idea itself being that men shouldn't hit girls, I don't think is the idea.
No, I think you're right. I think the underlying point that's key to everything is that Leo refuses to give Sela the respect she deserves. And you can be, well, anyway, I'm not going to go into a whole thing, but, like, that's the core issue here. And there are a lot of manifestations of that, and one of them happens to be him not giving his all when he's fighting her, and another for him happens to be carrying her bags. Now, that's not to say that a woman can't have a man carrying her bags, and it's not. It's more has to do with the attitude and intention behind it. So,
yeah, because I mean, Amu was totally fine with it on the level of Amu's like, yeah, this means that we can get more things. Because Amu's coming at this from a whole different direction. And I wish there had been a little more of that, but I understand this was between the two of them. But I just, boiling the whole thing down to fighting, I think is really a big part of the problem.
Yeah, if you start at violence, things get weird.
Because the issue isn't about fighting. It's just that fighting is kind of in the middle of it because these are two warriors.
I mean, honestly, it could have been a game of chess, too.
Yeah.
It could have been.
And he would have said, oh, it's not okay for me to outsmart her because I have my big manly lion brain and she's got her little womanly shark brain. Right? I mean, that could have been the case. Or the thing that was focused on, but it wasn't. It's because that's all a cipher for what's underneath, which is that he doesn't respect her because she's a woman. Or respect her as much as he, as an
equal. Yeah, like that's, because it's weird because he does really respect her, but he's got this idea in his head that he has to step back for her. Like, he has to let her win the fight, he has to carry her bags as the sign of respect, and that's not the respect that she wants.
And you have to respect when people tell you, you should respect me by doing this.
And I think that's really what the core of the issue is, not fighting. Whereas the fighting is her being, I want you to fight me as an equal. I don't want you to pull your punches. Because it's not going to hurt my feelings if you beat me.
It might hurt my everything else, but I signed on for that. Because I'm, you know, because we are both warriors. Respect me.
Yeah. So it's just the way Jason is approaching this, I'm not really on board with.
So, would Jason be the Leo to you, Sela, at this point?
I'm not sure.
yeah, we're not sure. Should we definitely move from that and get into Chris's feedback?
Yes, we probably should.
Okay. Do you mind if I read it?
Go right ahead.
Okay, so in answer to this question, Chris says this. I've been thinking about this question a lot, mainly because Leo is acting how I thought 10 years ago. While I believe the show is trying to imply that Leo's opinion is incorrect, they also take time to show that Leo believes he is in the right, which I like. Leo believes what he is doing is polite, in quotes, without realizing it's coming off as condescending. As long as he realizes this in the future, changes his ways, and fights Scylla properly, I'm happy with this side of my character. If we get to the 40s and he's still thinking like this, I won't be happy. My opinion these days is that being a man, in quotes, means knowing when to beat people and when not to. The correct time is in an agreed fight with the person in question when or where both are aware of the possibility of losing. The incorrect time is pretty much any other time. I'm struggling to put my own thoughts down into a logical form, which I apologize for.
Well, you know, it's when it's unsanctioned and not a thing people signed up for, as in a structured fight, that's called assault. And that is illegal in every country I'm aware of.
That's illegal no matter what anyone's gender is. So
I'm not sure Chris is talking about wrapping up ice cream around his fist, and then
I'm trying to lighten the mood because look, this is a real thing that happens to real people, and I know we're trying to joke around it because you laugh or you cry, but
yeah,
like it's heavy stuff, and it is a thing. I just really hope you owed your takes as serious as it bloody well deserves, especially since, like, in me and in reading some of our reader feedback, like, it's hard to avoid the specter of a lot of really gender-based violence, and I really want them to not mess it up, especially because of that level, because I don't want to think about that when I watch my Sentai.
Yeah.
I'm happy to think about, like, big abstract things like fascism and murder and death, but boy, there's this one seems to have dragged a lot of stuff up for some of our listeners and, like, for me, and it's not comfortable.
I like when things make us self-examine.
Yes,
I like that.
Yes.
And this is definitely, like, take a look at what you're doing and what you think about what you're doing. And, again, I love that it's Leo. I love that it's the most good guy in the group. Like, the guy who just absolutely, the most lovable, just wants to be friends with everyone, hang out, do his thing, is the one making this mistake. So you can't just pass it off on, no, he's just doing it because he's a jerk.
Which, like, and that is, like, it's really clever. It's beautiful. In on that respect, it's, yeah.
So, I mean, I have a lot of faith in where this is going.
Me too. It's just, boy, I've seen some stuff that I love really, really, really crap the bed, and I don't.
Oh yes, I so have I, and I do not want it. And I, if it goes bad, I will be the first to admit I was wrong. But
it's not even wrong because you're hoping.
I'm hoping, but I mean, like, I will be the first to admit that this is that it didn't go how it should have. I'm really hoping that they bring it all the way home.
Me too. I like when my superhero stuff approaches, you know, just goes for it. Like, says, hey, we're going to tackle a real social issue. Like, we're going to talk about toxic masculinity and the ways it can manifest even in people you like and people who think they're doing good, people who honestly kind of are doing good, and look at it that way. That's beautiful.
I think that's a good way to conclude the conversation. I'm definitely gonna have to stop by and get a Grand Slam on my way home to just, you know, really help me deal with all this and, you know, really think about it as I'm enjoying all those great flavors at such a great value.
Get a nice, delicious Denny's milkshake.
Yeah, exactly, to wash away all the sad tears. Sorry, but seriously, I mean, it's a heavy subject to talk about, and I'm just thankful that we have this Denny's sponsorship to help us, you know, get through it.
It is heavy, and I mean, I'm really surprised that Sentai is the one bringing it up, because, I mean, Ryder is really the one that deals with the heavier things. But, I mean, I guess Ghost is too busy with fascism to also tackle toxic masculinity. So...
Although, there might be a little bit of that thrown in there, too.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, Adel coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's some stuff. He's got issues.
Oh, he does.
Should we go ahead and call it on Laser News?
No, I think that's everything we've got for episode 4.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ayla, so, if you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, I think I will. So for the Trial of Heroes crew here at Laser Knees, we'll see you next time. I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sona.
And I said, we'll see you next time way too early.
Stay cubicle and don't be a jerk.
Yes.
Yes.
To anybody.